The Joe Show is on summer break, and while we are preparing for season 10 to be premiered in October, we want to play you the best of the best from our season 9. We have great interviews, great laughs, great times, so this is an hour full of the best of the best here on The Joe Show. Welcome back to the Joe Show, and joining us right now, you've heard his great hits that have made millions over around the world with Tie a Yellow Ribbon Round the Old Oak Tree and Knock Three Times, and he's coming here to Niagara Falls, and we're so excited to have him with us on July 7th and 8th at the Falls View Casino. It's the one and only Mr. Tony Orlando. Hello, sir. How are you?
How are you, Joe? It's a pleasure to talk to you. It's great coming back to the Falls. There's been many times that I've been there. They've been so supportive, and the area has been so great to me. I can't wait to get back.
Oh, awesome. Well, we are definitely looking forward to having you here. And I know you're going to be singing, of course, the big hits of like Tie a Yellow Ribbon and also Knock Three Times. But for someone who hasn't come seen you in Niagara Falls, what other are the hits that you're going to be singing and doing?
Well, there's Gypsy Rose, just saying that he don't love you like I love you, and you know, and Candida, all five of them went to number one for us. So those of us know that we do those songs. We wouldn't absolutely not have them excluded from the show. But the show, you know, I have a rhythm section that's been with me for 19 years, and one of the great parts of doing this show, and I have been in all the casinos in Vegas, we just closed in Vegas, or in Asia, we just finished a tour of Asia, working in Taipei and Malaysia and Singapore and New Zealand. The thing that we love to do is, I'm old school in the fact that I don't do a set list. Other than the hits I just mentioned to you, I judge the show based on the audience. There are days that I may go out and this audience may just want to rock and roll. They may want to do some, I mean, I think our interpretation of Led Zeppelin to Satisfaction to a rap song that we do now. I just finished a rap thing with a great group, Mobb Deep, who they're known for being one of the originators. And I just did Knock Three Times rap. You can get it online somewhere, and on iTunes, I think it is. And the guy's name is Computer, who's the lead singer of Mobb Deep. So we go across the board, and thank God after working on the road, this is my 55th year in show business, and I'm still 2 years younger than Paul McCartney, so I still got some time to go.
and first of all, congratulations. I mean, being in the business for 55 years, I know you've had some ups and downs over those years, and of course, back...
Well, let me ask you a question, Joe. Yeah. Do you have some ups and downs done in your life too? I'm sure you did. We
absolutely
all do.
Absolutely. And it's just how you travel through it and prevail, though. That's how you get through it, though.
Yep, same as you.
Yeah, exactly. And I know that in 55 years, you must have seen a lot of different business in the music industry and how it's grown, especially nowadays with technology, how it's grown. And what else have you seen over the 55 years of being in the business?
Well, I think that the artistry today is much better than it's ever been. I think the young performers today, you take a Demi Lovato or Nick Jonas, and you take even Justin. Justin's a very talented. He's got problems, you know, and it seems to be dealing with his life. He's doing a pretty good job for as young as he is, and as much of an onslaught as he's had. But musically, I mean, there's some of the great young people. Ed Sheeran, these kids are phenomenal, and singing better than ever. And as you put it, the technology and the way we make records today with Pro Tools. You know, when I made records in the early days, when I first started, I was 16 years old, 1961 with Carole King. We made our records in four tracks, yeah. Four tracks. And we'd have an orchestra of 30 people out there. You know, so the old Motown records that you hear and the old Carole King stuff that you hear, the stuff that I did in the early 60s, they were all done on four tracks. And today you can have a my God, the tracks are unlimited, so you can just keep on putting on and putting on and making the sound even better. And the digital sound today is really amazing, and how they mix down and how they make records is unbelievable. It's on another level. So between the artist being great, you know, artists today have to be understand how to dance. They have to know how to use the camera. They have to know how to react on video. They have to have some acting sense in them. They're so eclectic today that this is the greatest young musical generation of all time.
And speaking about when you first started, we're speaking with Tony Orlando coming to the Fallsview Casino on July 7th and 8th. And you can check out Tony's website, of course, where else he'll be, on TonyOrlando.com. But at 16, you were with the Five Gents, a doo-wop group, and kind of were spotted and founded by Don Kirshner, who paid you like $1 a week.
Actually, I was with the doo-wop group before I signed with Donnie. That was just my street corner days. When I signed with Donnie, I was already a solo artist, and I thank God for him. He put me together with Carol. She was 18, I was 16, and Carol King and I made our first records together. My first hit was called Halfway to Paradise, which started, by the way, in Canada. It's interesting, but
how?
Quality Records. I don't know if you remember Quality Records, if you're old enough to remember, but our records of Halfway to Paradise came out on Quality, and my first trips as an artist were in Canada, because my career as a 16-year-old kid started in Windsor, Canada, right outside of Detroit, CKLW. Rosalie Trombley was the name of the program director.
Wow, that's awesome. And Windsor's only about 4 hours, 5 hours from Niagara Falls, so you have a lot of history here in Canada, too, then.
Yeah, it's been a great run. I mean, Canada's been great for me. And between the States and Canada, I've had an amazing journey, to be honest with you.
Speaking with Tony Orlando, and I'm looking forward to seeing you here when you're in Niagara Falls at the Avalon Ballroom on July the 7th. You're here for both days, July 7th and the 8th. And I know these are your two infamous songs, and is also, I think, was a theme song when you had your variety show back in the 70s on CBS there. But Tie a Yellow Ribbon Around the Old Oak Tree was kind of meant for a different meaning, and now it's actually used for when veterans are coming home from overseas in the Middle East.
Well, it started as that in 1973. The first time I sang Yellow Ribbon was to welcome home our POWs, so it's been 40-plus years that that song has represented our military. That's where it began, with Bob Hope at the Dallas, in Dallas at the Cotton Bowl. We welcomed home our POWs in Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos. And then, of course, at the end of the Iranian hostage crisis in the States, it was a major part of their homecoming in 1980, and then again in Desert Storm. So although the song was meant to be a love song, and it was talking about a girl who was waiting for her boyfriend, her husband, who was in prison, and he's coming home, and he's not sure he's even wanted anymore. And he says, you know, if you still love me, put a yellow ribbon on the tree. And he's on the bus. He takes a look at the tree, and everybody cheers, because there wasn't one yellow ribbon. There was 100. So it's a song that was written about forgiveness and love between a man and a woman, that ended up being a symbol of homecoming and love between a country and its people who go and defend that country and on their homecoming. So it's been a great journey for that. The two guys that wrote it, Irwin Levine and Larry Brown, they're the ones that deserve the credit for writing such a wonderful song. I was merely the mailman that delivered the letter.
And do you yourself get new music given to you, written? I know that song was written for you, and say, oh, Tony, can you sing this and record this? Or are you kind of just done and just doing the shows that you do in Vegas and touring around and that?
I missed the question one more time.
Yeah, I was just saying, do you still get songwriters coming to you to want to sing their songs and say, Tony, please sing this, or do
not
you focus
really,
on
because,
singing?
No, not really, because songwriters today would want their songs written by the relevant artists that are having hits today. So they wouldn't be coming to me for that. No, I do get a lot of songwriters who write patriotic songs that want me to record them, yes. But on the average, No, and I think I would speak for most artists that have had their hits in past decades. For instance, the 80s artists or the Cyndi Laupers or the Lionel Richies, but although they write their own songs, and I've been a writer also, but truthfully, those of us who depended on people to write like Diana Ross, I don't think Diana's getting the songs that she got in the days when she was hot with the Supremes. It's just a natural event of things as each decade finds their new people and new artists. But songwriters, by and large, go to whoever is hot.
I know you've worked with a lot of different artists from when you done touring and you had your theater open there in Branson, Missouri, Tie a Yellow Ribbon Music Theater there and doing Broadway. And then you also, of your TV show that you had, the variety show on CBS, and worked with a wide variety of different acts too. Was there someone that you really wanted to work with that you weren't able to get to work with and you're kind of like, oh, I wish I was able to do that?
No, I had the good fortune of being able to work with everyone from Elvis to Sinatra to Jerry Lewis. 33 years I hosted the telethon for him in New York for Jerry, to Dean Martin, the Rat Pack. I worked with all of those guys. I worked with Jackie Wilson. I worked with all of my Sam Cooke, with all of my rhythm and blues artists, Ray Charles. I have had such a lush, wonderful experience as a performer. There really is no one that I could ever think of that I didn't get a chance to perform with. I've been that too. I've been very fortunate.
And I got to say also too, being very fortunate, you've been able to bless us with the great talent and music that you have sang over the years and decades of providing great entertainment to all of us here, the public, not only in Canada, but in the United States and worldwide. Like you said, you've been touring all over the world. And what is it for Tony Orlando to keep on going as strong as he is and still plowing through it and being as great as he is?
Well, the greatest experience for a performer is the act of giving, Joe. When you get on stage and you give whatever God's blessed you with and whatever's, you know, you have to offer an audience, and you see an audience that's been thrilled by it or they've enjoyed it, there's no greater gift for me than to see the joy in their faces or the joy in their applause. Not for ego, but because I gave them a moment in time that pleased them. And it really is not an act of getting when you're a performer. It's an act of giving. So I'm sure if you think about it, Joe, your day when you get up and you give, do you have children?
I don't, no.
Okay, you have good friends and family?
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, on Christmas Day or on their birthday or some holiday and you give a gift, what's the gift for you? When you give the gift and you see their expression of enjoyment and they get all excited, isn't that your gift?
Absolutely.
Watching them
Absolutely.
Receive your gift?
Absolutely.
Well, it's the same thing when you're an entertainer. You can't give that joy up to watch people have a great time and forget their problems. And maybe you were the spark plug for that in their day or in their life. No. Giving up this job would be idiotic, because the one person that walks away with the gift is me.
And Tony Orlando, we are willing, with open arms and ears, accepting your gift that you come to Niagara Falls on July the 7th and 8th at the Fallsview Casino in the Avalon Ballroom. And we thank you very much for returning back year in year.
Thank you. And I'm looking forward very, very much to going back home to that wonderful room. I love working in there. Hope to see you there, Joe.
I really hope to see you, too. And we're going to be back right after this, so don't go anywhere.
100 yellow ribbons around the old tree.
This is Tony Orlando, and you're listening to The Joe Show.
Oh, my darling, not three times on the ceiling if you want me. Coming home, I've done my time. Now I've got to know what is and isn't mine. If you receive my letter telling you I'd soon be free, then you'll know hearing, and I can't believe I see a hundred yellow ribbons round the old tree. I'm coming home.
As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Do you want to be a better communicator? Do you want to better connect with the important people in your life? Do you want to enrich your relationships? If so, join me, Matthew Cooper, on the Positive Control System show every Wednesday evening at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Om Times Radio. I'll meet you there.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Raindrops are falling on my head.
Hi, this is BJ Thomas, and you're listening to The Joe Show.
Welcome back to the Joe Show, and joining me right now is a huge music artist. He's a five-time Grammy Award winner. He's coming to Niagara Falls, Canada, May 21st. He will be in St. Catharines, December 5th. He is celebrating 50 years of receiving his first gold platinum record and many more that came after that as well. It's the one and only Mr. BJ Thomas. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm fine, Joe. How you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. And first of all, let me congratulate you on 50 years of being in the music business and entertaining and still going so strong.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, I still, I still retain the burning desire I had when I was, you know, when I was just a boy. So, you know, I still have that that desire to do it, and I'm glad I'm in good enough shape to go out and do it. And it's, it's been a ripoff all the way, you know, a lot of fun.
Well, I could imagine. and this is amazing because usually people are thinking of retiring at this time of age, and I'm not going to give away your age. People can look it up if they want to, but you are going strong. You sound great, greater than ever. I think I'm hearing some videos on your Facebook page there, and it's so smooth. And I heard you do the Hooked on a Feeling song and Raindrops, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing still.
Well, hey, I appreciate you saying that. And it takes a little effort. You know, we all have to, in my group, we try to stay in good shape. But, I have luckily been, always kind of concerned with staying in good shape. And I work out and do all that. But it's just probably just the luck of my heritage. My family, you know, we're good, healthy people. And so I hope I can maintain that for a while. I'll be 74 this summer.
Wow, God bless you.
You know, that's just a number, but, you know, you do feel it a little bit. But, hey, That's what it is.
Well, you look good. You sound good. I mean, even too, I am so mesmerized, and I think many are also mesmerized too, by the piercing blue eyes. They're like that from when you were young, and it's just very attracting, and you get me deep and hypnotized and hypnotic in your eyes, Mr. BJ.
Well, thank you. I guess that's good.
It is very good. And you made a mention, started because you've had the love of passion since you were a young boy of singing, and you actually started singing in church.
Yeah, you know, we at one time, and I'd always been interested in music, and my dad was a big Grand Ole Opry fan, so we were, you know, we'd listen to that every Saturday night, even when we were just, you know, toddlers. And you know, so I was just always attracted to that, and we happened to move at a time. I guess I was about 10 or 11. We moved across the street from a church, and my brother and I, my brother Jerry and I, we started going to the church. And the thing that really attracted me then was the music. And so, you know, I sang with a little quartet, and I was the youth song leader. When I was 12 and 13, so that's kind of where it came from.
That's awesome. And then, of course, then after that, you decided to do, you got into a group called the Triumphs that you came later on in your teen years.
Yeah, we were all in high school, we were all around 16 years old, and they were friends of my brother, my brothers, and my brother took me to one of their rehearsals or whatever. And I got up and sang with the band. They didn't have a singer, so I got up and did a Buddy Holly song, Johnny B. Good, and things like that. And so they kind of started from there, like five of us. And you know, I still see those guys every now and then through in the year, and we do a show, we do a benefit or two during the year. So that's how it started, and it was just a lot of fun, kind of just playing for you know, the kids out in the boondocks and playing the big weekend dances. And that was, I think that's good preparation for any singer or any musician, is to be part of a band as soon as they can. It kind of gives you the your routine and gives you a way to learn your method of operation, you know.
Did you have any former training, or were the family musical, like your brother was musical? Like, did you have any kind of training when you were young then?
No, I didn't have any formal training. I kind of had to learn as I went, and I was in the choir in high school, which I failed, by the way, because I never could make any of the choir choir programs, because I was always working with my band. But I did learn, had instruction in how to breathe from my choir director, Joe Scarcella, and so I always you know, try to support my diaphragm with my breath, and, you know, yada yada. But that's the only real technical things I've ever had.
With the success that you've had and over the 60 years of performing and the hit records, and of course breaking out in the 60s and the 70s, and I know your brother probably helping you out along the way, and I know your brother started with you with having the band and that stuff too. Did he have any jealousy towards you, or was he very supportive along the way? He's like, oh, that should have been me at any point in time.
Oh, no, he was very supportive. He always had my back. He traveled with me for 25 years. He was always right there for me. You know, if there was any kind of problem, he was right there. And then he was my tour manager for a number of years before he kind of left the road. You know, the road gets kind of wears certain people out at one point. And so he went out to California. He's out in California now. But he was always right there for me.
Nice. And we're speaking with BJ Thomas, 5-time Grammy Award winner, making his appearance here in Niagara Falls, the Fallsview Casino Resort at the Avalon Ballroom on May 21st, and then back here in Ontario in St. Catharines at the Meridian Center on December the 5th. And you can see BJ Thomas there perform some of his great hits, and we'll talk about that momentarily. But you made a mention about your dad and you and the family growing up and loving the Grand Ole Opry. And at age 30, you got invited to be a member of the Grand Ole Opry. And what was that like to you, being invited? And who invited you to be a member?
Well, the Opry, you know, officials invited me. And probably Pete Drake, the guy I was working with musically then, my producer then, you know, the legendary steel guitar player from Nashville, he probably got that rolling. And, you know, you mentioned my dad. He was my hero, and he still is. But it wasn't like really something I was building to or wanting to do with all my heart. But when I got a chance to join the Opry, it just so connected the circle between with my music and my father. So it was so great to, you know, to become a member. And of course, I'm still a member, and I try to show up once or twice a year. I stay so busy, I can't do, you know, the number of things I'd love to do. But and I had the Gatlin brothers did some music before I was inducted and introduced me to the audience, and so it was a good night, 1982.
Wow. And well, talk about induction. I forgot to make a mention too, and I want to congratulate you. And you were totally surprised. I'm jumping way ahead here as of just recently that you were just inducted in your home, your birth town, I should say, in the Music Hall of Fame in Oklahoma.
Yeah. Just it was last Thursday or Friday. I did a show up at the Riverwind Casino, the number one casino in Oklahoma. A great, great place to work. And you know, they kind of came out toward the end of my show and surprised me and inducted me into the Oklahoma Hall of Fame, which, you know, has so many wonderful artists, Vince Gill among them from Oklahoma. So I was very proud of that. And I was totally surprised. And it was really cool.
That's awesome. So congratulations on that too, sir.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, back to the old Opry here for a moment. I know you made, and it's 50 years as of this year, that you covered Hank Williams' I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry, and it sold over 1 million copies and awarded your first gold disc ever.
Well, you know, Hank Williams was a huge part of my youth. I loved him, and he was the guy that always seemed to stand out on the Grand Ole Opry. And I guess I was about 10, you know, 9 or 10 when Hank passed away in late in 1952, and it was a big heartbreak for me. And so when I got in the band when I was 15, soon after that, I went to, a few years after I got in the band, I went to see the Hank Williams Life Story, which was a movie way back in the day. And I was really caught up with I'm So Lonesome, and I started doing that at our dances with the band, the Triumphs, they were called. And I started doing that at our dances. It developed into this very different kind of version over a period of months. And I did it. We got the chance to make our first album. And I recorded it and just, you know, had no idea it was a hit record. I mainly just did it for my dad and because I loved Hank Williams. But somehow it found its way on the radio. Joe Ford, Bob White, the guys in Houston started playing it. And, you know, it went number one in 3 weeks and eventually was picked up by Scepter Records out of New York City. And that's how I got going.
Wow, that's just wonderful. And then a couple of years later, one of my favorite songs of your collection is Hooked on a Feeling.
Yeah.
And another one that sold millions and got the gold record. And I love Reggie Young's electric sitar in it as well.
Oh, yeah.
Whose idea was that to put that in there in that extra bit?
Well, of course, Reggie was in the American Studio Group, and our producer was Chips Moman, just a legendary producer of Son of a Preacher Man and just all kinds of songs. And all the Elvis comeback things. And Chips was a great producer, and he just came up with that. We had used the sitar in the record right before Hooked on a Feeling, a song called The Eyes of a New York Woman. And it was kind of used sparingly, and we just thought, hey, let's, you know, Chips thought, hey, let's just go for it. And so Reggie you know, I think played one of the classic guitar leads and fade outs and instrumentals of all time. He was probably the best, you know, among the top guitar players of all time. So we cut that thing, and you know, there was some resistance to it in the radio. It sounded different to them, and they resisted it a little bit. But it broke out in Houston. It broke out really big on radio in Houston and went nationwide. And really, one of my favorite songs.
It is
that I've recorded.
And I have to say that I've heard various versions done and covers like Chumbawamba and whatever have you.
Yeah.
Thinking of Chumbawamba, but yours is still the best. The original BJ Thomas number one, definitely.
Well, you know, I don't have any real problems with the Ooga Chooga thing, but I thought it was kind of a cheap shot. Although it was a very commercial song, and even that my original went to number five, and of course. The Ooga Chugga thing went to number one and was a great song, a great production. You know, I was Mark James, my very best friend, wrote Hook, so I was happy for him and made him a lot of money. But I wish they'd have waited a few years, you know.
Yeah, well, and you know what too? I think and with it going to number one and yours with number five, it kind of. And it didn't matter if it was the Ugas or not, but it kind of regenerated it to a whole different era of kids. Because that's when I first heard it.
Yeah, it was kind of a dance. Right, it was kind of a dance version. And it's been very successful, too. You know, it's been very successful. You know, with some of my records, you know, when Scepter went out of business in the subsequent years, in the early 70s, the masters for the music, they get out to other entities, and people own your masters, and they're in charge of when they're played. So I think my original Hook on a Feeling has been restricted very much from being in a lot of pictures. You know, Wrong Song and a lot of my music, because it's owned by, you know, a private situation by a guy in Nashville, and so it's been restricted. Or I think Hook on a Feeling would have showed up even more, because Raindrops, that's been that one shows up quite often in Spider-Man 2 and certain things, so I'm proud of that.
Yeah, well, that shows up too, and also I'm trying to think of Rock and Roll Lullaby was a big hit in Brazil for a soap opera.
It was a theme song to a novella, and which ran for 22 years in Brazil. She was just, and yeah, I love those records. I cut Rock and Roll Lullaby in New York in the Village. You know, I thought it was a great production by Steve Tyrell and Al Gargoni. Of course, Steve Tyrell is a singer now himself.
Yeah,
but he was always he was A&R director for Scepter Records, and he always was behind the scenes. But he's my lifelong buddy, my brother, and you know, I love those records. I always feel good about Rock and Roll Lullaby, because some of your music is always going to become a little dated.
Yeah.
Just because the equipment was a little more primitive back in those days and what have you. But Rock and Roll still stands up. When you hear it, it's still, it's okay.
Raindrops are falling on my head.
Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head first was shown on Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. It got the Academy Award for Original Song and hit number one of the Billboard's Top 100 in 1970. That was your third gold record that you had. And it seems so easy and simple, not to minuscule it or anything else like that, but it's such a it's a nice little jaunty tune, as opposed to the other ones like Hooked on a Feeling and Somebody Done Somebody Wrong Song.
Yeah, you know, there's such a truism in Raindrops, and not to make too big a deal out of it, but it's such an American song to me, because, you know, hey, the rain may fall on us, but we're free, so we don't have that big a problem. So it's one of those songs that makes a statement that is so such a truism and connects with people's spirits. But the way it was done, of course, the music was composed by Mr. Burt Bacharach,
yeah,
and the lyrics were written by Hal David. I didn't write it, but and you know, Hal David just had a way. You know, most of those things that Hal and Burt did, you know, are classics, every one of them. So he just had a way of making a very simple statement that that would just ring your bell. You know, really get to you on the inside. And, you know, we had many conversations about that song. He said, they asked me to write a frivolous song, but he said, you know, I don't write frivolous songs. But so he kept it simple and it almost sneaks up on you with the you know, the depth and the validity that it has. So I had laryngitis when I cut the song for Butch Cassidy, the bicycle scene. And it almost seemed like I should have had laryngitis because it came off, it came off with that kind of groove, like you know, it wasn't a big singer singing it. It was kind of like maybe Paul was singing it. So it really worked well. They won an Academy Award for that, and of course, Burt won for the score of the entire film also. And just you know, I was very fortunate to get Raindrops, Joe, and over the years, I've so appreciated. And now I just feel honored to be able to sing that song in all my shows, and people still, they relate to it. They still love it. I mean, kids, older people, everybody across the board love that song.
Yeah, it speaks to everyone. It's an all ages song, and it's a wonderful song. And I'm glad you were able to do that. And I never knew you sang and covered this song from one of my favorite artists, Elvis Presley. I Just Can't Help Believin'.
I just can't help believing when she smiles.
Oh, yeah. I was around Elvis for quite a bit when I was in Memphis. And, of course, when he was recording his comeback music, I could sat in for a couple of those sessions. And he was a great, wonderful guy. Treated everybody beautifully, and then during the period of time I knew him, he was just a beautiful specimen of a man and a great singer. He just was at his zenith with his music. With the Suspicious Minds was written by the same guy that wrote Hooked on a Feeling. But in the actual truth, I had the first hit on Just Can't Help Believing, and Elvis loved we had a good connection, and we both loved each other, and He also covered one of my songs, It's Only Love, which was the number one in England. And but he did Just Can't Help Believing in his live show out at the Hilton. And, you know, it's such a great song. And he was an extraordinary arranger. Even if he didn't write something, he could work it out where it sounded almost better than you. And his version of it was a great version. And I always loved the fact that he did one of my songs.
That's wonderful. And what was he like in the recording studio? I mean, you sat into some of the sessions that he had, and I know you say he was fun and great talent in that, but how was he like in everything else?
You know, he was just a great guy. I mean, really, I know you expect me to say that, but he was a great guy. Everybody, and you know, this was back in the day when, you know, musicians were not competitive. We all loved each other. We all sounded different. So now there's kind of a sameness to it, and maybe it's a little more competitive than I've ever seen it. But back then, we all looked up to him. He was the number one guy. I mean, everybody, of course, I was huge R&B fan. I loved Bobby Bland, Jackie Wilson, of course, Ray Charles and these guys. But he was always on the top. And, you know, he was just a regular, seemed like a regular. Well, I'd take back the word regular. I don't think that fits Elvis, but he was always a special kind of brighter light when he was around, and you could almost feel his presence. And, you know, I just don't know if there'll ever be another guy like that, because he had everything. So, and he was a great guy. He tried to, you know, he sang. Chips would ask him, Chips was probably the first guy who would say to Elvis, he'd say, you know, man, that sounds great, but I think he can do better. Let's do it again. And you know, and I don't think anybody at that time was pushing Elvis to reach deeply. And Chips did, and he came up with some of the greatest vocals of his career, and an extraordinary guy. And we were all just totally devastated when he died. We had no idea that Elvis, I had no idea that Elvis had any problems. I mean, there was a little weight gain there, and we all were aware that there was some usage of prescription drugs, but no one in any way expected Elvis to die when he did, and so we were all devastated. But, you know, he left a record of music and a presence that will never be equaled, I don't think.
No, and also, BJ, I know you had back in the 70s a scare yourself with battling drugs and alcohol, and you switched around, and you've been 40 years this year sober. So, first of all, that's a huge defeat right there, so congratulations on that.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Well, you know, it comes a time when, you know, I was abusing a lot of different things, and it just comes a time when, you know, I realized that, hey, I've got my family here. I've got my children. I got to where I wasn't singing like I wanted to. I didn't feel right. And so it just came a time to take a stand on that situation. And I'm glad that I was able to get through it. It took, you know, many relapses and a lot of tears, but, you know, that I'm glad I got through it. And I have a wonderful wife, Gloria. We've been married for 48 years now, coming up on 48 years.
Congratulations.
And it mainly was her. She was the one that that was there and helped me keep walking.
Well, she switched to being Christian, and a month later you did, and I think that's the same year when you started doing your first of many Christian gospel albums, and one in 76 called Home Where I Belong became platinum.
Yes.
And that's just like unheard of, like a pop artist having a Christian CD come out and it becomes platinum.
Yeah, well, it was the first platinum record in gospel history, and we actually had the first four platinum albums, and so it was a great thing. You know, Christianity, when the right philosophy is being practiced, is a great thing. But on the whole, I had some problems within that community too. Excuse me, I've been drinking coffee this morning. You know,
that's okay. No worries.
But I never was a religious guy. You know, I kind of feel like, you know, we're all, you know, God loves all of us, no matter if, you know, some people are not doing right in our eyes. We're all the same. We're all the same person and the same human being. So I've never, you know, I think too much religious fervor has not been good in any situation or any part of the planet. So I had nothing negative to say about any religion, but I just think we're all you know, picking at straws here. You know, we all appreciate the love and the higher power of who we feel like, you know, is up there in the sky. And so the best thing we can do is just treat other people like we want to be treated and try to love other people. And you got to start with yourself. So,
No truer best words have been ever said. And BJ, did you ever think that when you were starting out in music as a young boy, 10, 11 years old, singing in the choir in the church and then having the triumphs, how big of a music career and gold records and platinum albums that BJ Thomas would ever have?
No way, Joe. I never thought. I remember back when I was in the band to begin with, my mom and I were in a kitchen, and I said, you know, hey, Mom, what if I had a hit record? And gosh, we both got so embarrassed by the very idea that I would ever have a hit record, you know, that we immediately stopped talking about it because, you know, hey, that wasn't going to happen. But yeah, to look up now and the longevity of my career, that's probably the thing I'm proudest of. And you know, when you're in music, especially what I've tried to be, and I'm certainly not a saint or an example for anyone, but you know, when you get up to do your music, you have a chance to be your best person. You have a chance to do something positive that uplifts people and gives them a few minutes away from whatever reality they might be dealing with. So to get up there and to be a part of something that might be uplifting and a blessing for somebody. That's a great opportunity, and I think that's when I'm my best person, is when I'm on stage. But no, I never had an idea that it would turn out like this, but I certainly am thankful that it did.
Well, we are definitely thankful for the many decades of great music and entertainment that you've provided all of us all around the world, not only just in the United States and in Canada. You travel all over the world with about 70 to 80 dates a year and continue to go strong. And we are looking forward to seeing you here in Niagara Falls on May 21st at the Avalon Ballroom, and also in December, on December 5th, in the St. Catharines Meridian Center. So thank you very much, sir.
Well, buddy, thank you. You know, everything that I may have done for someone, they've done back for me 1,000-fold. So I love to go and perform and see the fans. And we're very excited about coming up to Niagara, coming up to Canada and that part of the world. And it certainly was fun talking to you, buddy. I appreciate it.
Oh, and I appreciate you. You ever been to Niagara Falls?
Yes, I've been there. Well, when I first got married, we went up. And it was interesting. It was in the wintertime, and the falls were frozen, so it always stuck in our minds, of course. So we're excited about – I don't know if we've been there since, but we're looking forward and excited about going back.
Beautiful time of year right now. Everything's in bloom here, and to see the falls falling with everything in bloom, perfect time of year. I don't know what you're thinking about coming to St. Catharines in December with the snow and the winter we get, but that's okay. That's your own choice.
Hey, that's okay. That's okay. You know, I've always been received so well in Canada. I had my first number one records up there. The second record I had called Mama was a number one national record, and Old Fashioned Love, and a lot of songs I had up there. And I even had one with some French lyrics that was number one in Quebec. And I always love to go up to Canada. They have the most wonderful audiences, and we're excited, buddy.
Oh, we're excited too. Well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you, man. I can't thank you enough. I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be back right after this here on The Joe Show.
Raindrops are falling on my head, and just like the guy's feet are too big for his bed, nothing seems to fit those raindrops are falling on my head, and they keep falling. So I just did me some talking to the sun, and I said I didn't like the way he got things done. He's sleeping on the job, and those raindrops are falling on my head, and they keep falling. But there's one thing I know. Keep falling on my head, but that doesn't mean my eyes will soon be turning red. The cry is not for me, 'cause I'm never gonna stop the rain by complaining, because I'm free. Nothing's worrying me. Keep falling on my head, but that doesn't mean my eyes will soon be turning red. The cry is not for me, 'cause I'm never gonna stop the rain by complaining, because I'm free. Nothing's worrying me. Thank you.
Hi, this is Randy West, your television voice on The Joe Show, talking about everything that's fun. Thanks for tuning in.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Aliyah, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Join Elliot Jolish, the business therapist, each Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern for the Elliot Jolish Hour, as he interviews business experts on your behalf. And you're invited to email your business questions to questions@ecjgroup.com for answers, live, on air, every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on the Elliot Jolish Hour. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello, this is Tim Conway, and whenever I'm in town, I listen to The Joe Show. I'm not in town that much. But if I ever come by that way, I'm going to turn the radio on and listen to The Joe Show. So I don't know when I'll be in your town, but listen for me. And listen for Joe, because he's so lonely.
Hey, thanks for listening to our best of the best of season 9 of The Joe Show. We hope you continue to have a great summer, a safe summer. And please listen every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern on OTRFM on your mobile device. All it is ohmtimes.com/mobile, OTRFM. Click on that big blue rectangular button, and it's absolutely free. No apps or downloads needed. And we will offer each week the best of the best of good interviews, good times, good fun of our season 9 that we had here on The Joe Show, preparing for season 10 that will be happening in October. Hey, you want to follow where I am? Just go to my website, joecrawfordlive.com. You can follow me on Twitter, @joecrawfordlive. Also, like our Facebook page, facebook.com/Joe Show Live. Remember, hope you have a great summer, and don't be ordinary, be extraordinary.